Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone. We're back. The fever break is over. The NBL is about to start. The WNBL is heating up as round seven is finished, and we're going into round eight. Bottomed. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm very impressed still with your tan from your holiday. You did very well. Hey, what a big week this has been in terms of the WNBL with the announcement of the Tasmania team that'll be in next season.
Brilliant.
They're going to be called the Jewels.
I actually saw their emblem and everything. I kind of like it. I think it's very Tasmania-ish, if that's the right word.
It's got a little sort of connection to the to the Jack Jumpers, hasn't it? What's the betting? This hasn't been said anywhere, but what do you think that their first major signing will be Alanis Smith?
Well, obviously, you know, I've got a close relationship with Darren, the father, who's is it basketball operations CEO, whatever he is at the
Sorry, I'm thinking of Jason now. Okay.
Yeah, no, Jason's with the Boomers. Darren's and I spent a season with Darren. He was my roomie and I loved him. He's a great guy, great family. I remember Alana, she was probably four when we were there, whatever it was when she was in Sydney. I think about that, then I think to myself, would she probably would do it for one season, but I don't know how these girls back up all the time, like season after season after season. I mean, I saw what it did to Lauren, you know, like it just burns you out eventually. And, you know, it would be a good story, wouldn't it, if she signed?
Wouldn't it? It would be a very good story. It's a bit like the Sam McDaniel story with the Jack Jumpers when they started, you know, his connection to Wayne with the Hobart Devils, etc.
Yeah, I love that. And, of course, Darren played for, you know, Hobart for many years for the Devils and then came to the Kings for a couple of seasons as well.
I've got one for you, like Darren Perry. Do you remember Darren Perry playing for
Hobart? Of course.
Was he the blueprint for Ben Eyre?
Oh, yeah, good one.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Wow. That's amazing. Yes, good one.
All right. Oh,
I can see Chuck Harmison sitting there listening to this. Chucky, you'd be loving it.
Anyway, let's get back to WNBL because there have been some major coaching issues in the time that we've been off air. Wow. You know, Adelaide releasing.
Take a week off, two coaches gone.
Yeah. Karen Mitchell in Adelaide has been replaced by Aya Parham-Amar and Guy Malloy. Has surprisingly parted company with the Flames, and Renee Garlip is stepping into the hot seat. Do you have any insight into the Sydney one?
Absolutely none. It came like out of left field for me, and I was shocked. I mean, you know, guys loved here, and obviously you only have to talk about his pedigree and what he's done to know that it must have been his decision. Like, I can't see, you know, anything else. And I mean, you could, you know, one would argue over the last two seasons it wasn't fantastic, but it was a personnel thing. When you lose Loz Nicholson to, you know, having a baby and the team, the way it happened, mate, like he took them to the playoffs the year before. So I think I was sort of a bit shocked that it happened. He's got his team back this year. They haven't started as well as you wanted to, but I just felt it was a shock. But it certainly wasn't a shock that the Renee Garlett got the job. As soon as they announced that, I thought it was a nice thing in one way of the Flames probably just go, we'll announce that a little bit later. Let's just let Guy has his time now to say thank you. Because he's staying in he's staying as part of the club in some type of role.
Yeah, interesting situation.
Yeah.
Whereas in Adelaide, nothing has come out really about Karen Mitchell, nothing. There's been some rumours that two key players, and there have probably only got three key players, but two of them were unhappy with the coach and, maybe he had something to do with her not being there anymore. But, again, that's just speculation.
And this is the problem, isn't it? As soon as the coaches go, you always hear it's a player thing, right? That's standard, certainly during the season. But they were just sort of two teams to me where I didn't think they were going any worse than what we thought they were. Do you know what I mean?
Brad, in Adelaide's case, I thought they were doing a darn sight better than what I predicted.
Right.
I actually thought they might go through the season and maybe get one or two wins for the whole season.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah.
We're not sitting here going, you know, like Bendigo are 1-8 or, you know, Townsville are 2-7 or something. And like, okay, well, something's wrong there. No, we're talking about teams that were predicted to finish pretty much where they are, maybe give or take. So it's a bit of a shock. But look, let's talk some positives there. Han Chu arrives in Perth. Man, What a game she played.
Yeah, it's like, honestly, Alex Cibatoni must be just thinking, I'm going to lead the league in assists now. Because she's first pass she made was to Hansu, and she puts it straight in. And and for talking to Alex, she's a terrific person too. She's not just a great player. And she's got moves. You know, it's a bit like JaVale McGee when he got here. He was better than we thought he was. She's better than you think she is. You know, if you're going back to the World Cup in 2022 in Sydney, she was pretty good then. But we're 3 years on from that. And she's a very good basketball player with moves of her own, but a great personality. And they already love her. They absolutely love her. I think they call her Hanny. Hanny, I think it is.
22 points, 9-9 shooting, mind you. Like, not too shabby, is it? You know,
count the three-point attempts, because she goes to 10 of 12, because she was one of three from the three.
Those. That's no. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, you're right, 10 of 12 in the field. But, you know, just what a pickup for our league. That's what I like. I tell you what.
Yes.
I got to say, when you add Ali Wilson, Alex, you know, Cibatoni, as you said, Annalie Maley, Amy Atwell. Ooh, I tell you what, I know Towns will look good, but, geez, they're going to be hard to beat. And Bendigo, that's going to be a top. Those top three is now, like, gone. See you later.
They're sort of separating themselves, aren't they?
And
the rest is sort of up and down depending on how teams settle with new coaches.
Well, it's interesting. Quite a bit. You talk wins and losses. Townsville have 8, Bendigo have 7, Perth have 6. Everyone else is 3 or less.
Yeah.
So it's wide open. Well, the fourth spot, I mean, right now I'm going to say it goes to Geelong because I think they'll get healthier and play better. But I'll tell you, you know, you just don't know. Like, I mean, Canberra, I thought they'd be better than 2 and 6, buddy.
Yeah, but they're, you know, injuries, settling your lineup, new, and someone else gets hurt. You know, it's Flyers.
Do you see them making a run?
Canberra?
No, Southside Flyers.
Southside, no. I think they're gonna miss out. Realistically, I don't see them.
I think it's going to come down to them and Geelong for that fourth spot, my honest opinion.
Well, Geelong's having their injury problems. I mean, they don't get their other import back till Christmas. So, and then I've heard on the grapevine that one of the main rotations got hurt this week at training. I don't know which one, but so that's, these things are real factors in how you go. So, I don't know. You know, when we look at this week's round, or if you look at last week's, have you got a player of the round?
Oh, to me, I can't go against Izzy Belays. You know, 22, 21 and 27 over her two games in two quality performances.
She was outstanding.
Me, pretty much outstanding, yeah.
I like Izzy Ball as well.
I can't pick teams that lose. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you lose a game, it's hard. But, no, she was great, Izzy.
Yeah, Izzy Bourne was pretty good too, even though, as you say, the Flyers lost, but she had 28.
Yeah,
But the biggest impression, come on, let's be honest, the biggest impression was made by Hansu. Like, as soon as she walked on the court, everything for our league changed.
Yeah.
You know, and its credibility overseas, I think. I know we talk about how good our leagues are, blah, 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 but we're just basically talking to ourselves. When you see a player of that quality choose to come here when she could be playing anywhere in the world, that is a real endorsement of the quality of the league.
Do you just see a little bit of JaVale McGee type feeling when you get that? Like, when she walked on, like, the presence of her just felt a little bit like that JaVale thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And as I said earlier, just like JaVale, you know, she's actually better than what advertised. You know, you sort of think, okay, she's going to be tall. She's going to catch it around the basket. She'll put it in. That's who she is. No, she's got moves. She's got a three-point shot. And she plays D. She sprints down the floor. So, I mean, it's just everything you want in a player. I think Ryan Petrick, the coach, is a bit surprised because he's a bit surprised by the fact that she's quite an emotional girl in terms of she hugs him regularly, gives him a hug at training, gives him a hug after the game. He's not like, he's one of these, hey, okay, touch me.
Typical scenario. I can understand, you know. Well, while we're here, let's go. The round starts on Friday. Why don't you give me your winners? Bendigo at home versus Geelong.
Bendigo.
Yeah, me too. Perth at home versus Flyers, Southside, Perth. Townsville at home versus Flames, Townsville.
Go for the obvious ones, but they are the teams in form.
Yeah, but this one, I think Geelong get it, but it could go anyway. Geelong at home versus Caps.
I might actually go for
I had to think about it. And then the next one, Southside at home versus Bendigo. I think Bendigo get a double.
I think so too, but neither of the two games, Geelong Canberra or Flyers Bendigo, if the results went the other way, would be a huge surprise.
Agreed. And then I think Caps will get Adelaide at home.
Yes, I think so too. Even though Adelaide put in a pretty good performance against Bendigo in Parham Amar's debut as their coach,
yep,
you know, which is basically arriving on Saturday and coaching on Sunday. That's a fair effort. I've heard that she's quite a tough coach,
yep,
and her demands will be at a high level. So that's all good.
And sometimes you can get that where it just gives that pick up. I mean, you know, I remember when there was a coaching change. You know, when I've been involved, it doesn't want to make you play harder, but you feel you have to prove your worth. You know what I mean? Yeah. You feel like you have to go, well, you know, I want you to play me. I don't want anyone that's around, you know, my minutes. I want to still earn those. Does this coach know that I can do that, and that?
Yeah,
and that's something. Yeah. And especially if you weren't recruited by that coach.
Very motivating. Because they don't know you. They don't know you. So you want to put your best foot forward straight away.
100%. Yep. All right, well, that's the WNBL. Thank you so much. Let's move on to the NBL. Obviously, we had a week off with the FIBA break. Just before we go, I don't think we did our player of the rounds from the week before. So something a bit weird. Let's go with it. I'm going to start it, and I'm going to go Christian Doolittle for his 30 points and 6 assists versus the Tasmania Jack Jumpers in what was a ripper game where they won 101-95.
Yep. I'm going to go with Dejan Vasiljevic, who has been relegated to the Adelaide bench for their win over Illawarra, but he showed what you need to show as a captain, a co-captain. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's one of the tri-captains. I think they've got three captains.
Yeah.
Isaac Humphries.
And
then they have, I think, 9 vice captains and then 14 associate captains. But anyway, what they have in this situation is a guy that's been relegated to the bench. I don't know how he feels about that, but he came up big in the South East Melbourne game. That was a really important game for South East Melbourne to win at home against a quality opponent, and they couldn't do it because Vasiljevic wouldn't let him. 17 in the last quarter, hit some monster threes, won the game for him, and I thought it was a tribute to not just to who he is as a player, but who he is as a person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I still think something's got to happen there because they're just so deep, you know, and I don't know where, like, someone's minutes has got to go. And as long as, you know, the coaches can keep all of them happy, they can win it. But if some people get their nose out of joint, which can happen, everyone's got their own personal, you know, feelings and stuff.
Well, let's jump to top six because I'm really intrigued because I think there's a team that can surprise everybody, and that's Tasmania if they can keep Will Magnay healthy. Right, here's the key. I mean, that's true of all teams. You need to keep your main guys healthy, but it's really apparent that they're a different team. They lose to Perth, they come home, they smack Sydney, and they've got Will Magnay playing, and David Johnson's back. Now, they've still got Anthony Drimmick to come back, so I like them as a darkie. If they come into the six, I've got them in mind. If they come into the six, you really wouldn't want to play them in the first round.
Oh, you really wouldn't. No, you wouldn't want to play. So, look, I mean, I'm still Melbourne, Adelaide, you know, South East, Sydney and Perth, that top five. I can't see how that's going to change, right? Give or take, you know, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, top two. South East, I think they're going to lose some games on the way, which will make them lower, but I still think they'll come fourth or fifth on the ladder. But I think they're so primed for playoffs because they play deep.
Defense, oh yeah.
But I think they're just going to lose some games because there'll be games where people just outshoot them. That's what I think is going to happen. But I have swapped Tasmania and Illawarra because I had Illawarra in the six before the break. And I just think they're 4-8 now. I think it's too much of a mountain to climb. Jonah Bolden now has done his Achilles. He's out for the season. I think that's a big loss. And it's just another guy that they had coming off the bench that they needed. And they don't have the Lockie Ulbrich anymore. And they don't have that little, you know, from last year I'm talking about.
Hey, moment of the week. Lockie Ulbrich gets his debut in the NBA, cuts baseline, Josh Giddey gives him the pass.
How nice was that?
It was a beautiful moment for Australia, anyone that follows Australian basketball. Anyway,
well, I'm going to say I'm with you with Tasmania. I do worry that they won't stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the only thing, but because that's, you know, as anybody would say, well, you can say that about any team. You don't want to take Doolittle out of Perth or you know, you can say that about any team. But in the case of Tasmania, it's really relevant because if you take him out, they don't have that backup. They don't have that Fabian Krstulović or the Marcus Lee of past seasons. They sort of go to Majorgeng's got to play, you know, so big, you know, you mentioned Southeast Melbourne. They got a big round coming up because they got Illawarra in Wollongong.
Yeah.
That's that, and if Illawarra will be hanging on to the thought that they can still make the playoffs, and then they've got Melbourne in another throwdown, so they potentially could drop to both games. Potential.
Yeah. No, I agree. Just to give some news around the NBL, so people know, it looks like Sam McDaniel is back from a calf injury that he suffered. So I think he did that in early in the round. They're saying not this round; it could be next round, so round 11. So that's good sign for the Bullets. Ty Webster has been signed this week with the New Zealand Breakers. Isaiah Leatha got through the game, but it looks like he's done a stress fracture on his foot. And it's interesting, I saw him at halftime, like limping, and I was thinking, because they were just showing them doing warm-ups, and I was like, oh, I didn't remember him rolling his ankle. From what I understand, out for the season, Ty Webster to replace him.
I'm sorry to hear that about anybody getting hurt, but other than his debut season with Southeast Melbourne, Isaiah Leafa has been one of the disappointments of the league for the last few years. Yeah. And when I saw him starting for New Zealand, that was the moment I thought, all right, I like their roster, but if they're starting with Isaiah and they're leaving Flynn Cameron on the bench, Australia's going to win this series.
Yeah. You know, well, tell you what, okay, let's talk about the series. They won it, but my goodness, did they, you know, plus seven over the two games. And Dave O'Hickey hitting the three, which we would have loved to have watched, Boddy, but I saw it on replay. Dave O'Hickey hits a three with like 2 seconds left. That play was not drawn up. That play was ridiculous, but Dave O gets him out of trouble.
Well, that's the thing. You see, again, Isaiah Leafa was guarding him on that play. They ran a pick and roll with Keanu Pinder, and then that left Yanni Wetzel sort of jumping over to him and a bit stranded as he made a little move, a little crossover, and bang, hits it off the backboard. Not sure he called bank, don't think it matters. All that matters is that you're trying to make that shot, and he did, and that's the win.
Let's hope, you know, that gives a pit step for Illawarra as well, because, you know, that can carry over those type of things when players do those things. So let's go to your best moment of that series, please.
Well, that was it.
Oh, yeah, good
call. That three was it, because that one, that clinched, not only clinched the series 2-0, but, you know, it won the game in the way every kid with a basketball or a football or anything
dreams of.
Yeah, that you hit that winning shot in a big game. And he did. He's got that now on his resume. You know, Jack McVay was probably sitting at home jumping out of his lounge chair going, yeah, I know how that feels. So yeah, that was my moment. There were a few in that game. What was yours? You going with that? Or
no, I mean, that is great, but I'll tell you what. Up fake, two dribbles. Sam Meninga, if you don't mind. What about his over Jack White? Wow. Welcome to the party, Jack.
Yes.
And then he just sort of stood there, leant over and goes, yeah, that one's for you, Jackie boy. Yeah.
I reckon Jack is going to go back to Turkey now and miss his next 15 free throws because he'll still be shaking from the shudder of that dunk.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was a hell of a hell of a dunk. Like, I didn't know he had that ups. I've got to be honest. I did not know he had that.
I've seen him do that. He threw one down like that against Cairns, actually, in the last round. He's got that, no question. And against Cairns, it might have been a little bit personal, given that's where he started his
career. Yeah, good call. Yeah, he probably was. Mate, let's just go to the games this week because they start on Wednesday night. New Zealand at home versus the Breakers. Who you got?
No, New Zealand are the Breakers. They can't play.
Sorry, versus the Kings. I can't believe I said that. Yeah, New Zealand. Well, they are versing themselves, really, because they're the one. You know, you just
there's no
know.
Such word as versing. Don't use versing as a vowel.
For crying out loud. Versus. Oh,
versus.
Right, Papa bloody.
Jeez.
Yeah. Papa
Nagi. We got people listening that want to be articulate. All right, let's go. It's New Zealand versus Sydney. Look. You're only as good as your last game, and Sydney were embarrassing in Tasmania. I mean, Xavier Cook's getting flung out, Bull Cole behaving like a petulant idiot. You know, I want to – Sydney at their best are in the title hunt. Sydney, when they're made to look like that, it's very hard to believe in them. So I think that'll be a much closer game than you expect.
Interesting that Ty Webster's there. But I think he'll really help them. I really do.
I think he'll help them more than Isaiah was, to be honest.
Yeah, the only thing is would you then put PJC in the two a little bit? Because, you know, like, but yeah. PJC is a guy that needs the ball in his hands, because a lot of times the struggle with Liatha, and unfortunately Tarangi as well, is this year is, you know, PJC does his thing, kick, 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 and those guys are not dropping the threes down, right? Mm. So,
yeah.
And you know, no disrespect to Ty Webster, that's not what his game is. Mm. So I'm just not sure how he will fit into that, but I like his energy. I like the way he plays. He'll be up and down, so it'll be good. All right, so who you got? Did you pick one?
I'm gonna go with Sydney, but reluctantly.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. As you said, Illawarra on the Thursday night, I'll be down there versus South East Melbourne. Oh, look, I'm going to go Illawarra because I think the time's now. I think that they have to go. So I'm picking the home team on the back of that.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I think this is a very dangerous weekend for South East Melbourne, and they need to have everybody back, Malik Lewis, Hunter Maldonado. They need to have their full roster back and playing. And even then, it's going to be a tough gig, because Jordan Hunter against JaVale McGee, that's a foul out waiting to happen, isn't it?
So speaking of that with Illawarra, because they play again on the weekend as well on Saturday at home against Cairns, one of the things that's really happening, and I'm going to be pinching up this on the TV as well, is that the problem you got now is JaVale McGee, they throw the ball in and four defenders now just stand in the key. It's like a zone, right? Mm. It is physically like a zone, because it's like, we'll just try and push your way through and see if we can get stops. And I thought the Kings set a really nice, like, that was an unbelievable, you know, defensive set, what they did with him, and now teams are following that. So I'm interested to see what the coaching staff for Illawarra have done now to counter that, because you've got to counter it, right? So for me, it'll be a good one. Then after that game, we fly over to Perth versus Melbourne at home. Ooh, well,
that was the last round they played, didn't they? Melbourne 98, Perth 87. So there's going to be a bit of hostility in that game. I think John really had joined the coach's crew in complaining about the umpires. I'm not having a go at John really here, because the umpiring has been appalling.
Well, how about this? Obviously, don't forget, who was the coach of the Boomers this weekend?
Oh, yeah, Dean Vickerman.
Who was his assistant? John Rilley.
Isn't that fun? So they're kind of, this is the play he runs in that situation. That'll be interesting.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that makes a good game.
I'm going Melbourne.
I'm going to take a punt on Perth that maybe they get one, because they're a bit like South East Melbourne. They're doing well, but they need a big scalp.
Yeah.
And there's none bigger
Adelaide
than Melbourne.
At home versus Brisbane.
Adelaide.
Yeah. Yep. New Zealand backing up at home against the Tassie Jack Jumpers.
Yeah, that's a good one. Full strength. I like Tasmania.
So
Tasmania.
I'm with you. Illawarra at home versus Cairns. Can't go.
Danger game again. Danger game. Yeah, but I'm going Illawarra. You got to go with the.
Yeah. Southeast versus Melbourne at home. Jeez. Now they won the last one, if I'm not mistaken, Southeast against Melbourne.
No.
I think they did. Didn't they?
No. Go and look it up. The more you're looking it up, I'll keep the listeners entertained with my rendition of
Poor
Brad
listeners.
Talking to Derek Rucker.
Poor listeners.
Hello, Derek. How are you? You're my favourite commentator, Derek. Used to be Matt Russell. Used to be Matty, but no, it's you now.
Oh,
okay,
God.
So, and we're back.
I'm mistaken. Melbourne have won both.
Right. Melbourne have comfortably.
There was something
They stayed with Melbourne for three quarters, Brad. That's what they've done. And that's probably what you've remembered. And then each time Melbourne put their foot on the accelerator, and South East Melbourne have been, you know, barking on the fumes.
Yeah, no, you're right. My mistake. All right. So, well, that was a shit call. I'm going for Melbourne.
I think South East Melbourne really has to win that game for its own credibility. But I just don't think. I think Melbourne's got a bit too much for them. And the biggest game may be the last one, because this brings Bryce Cotton and Adelaide into Perth.
Jeez, I'm going with Adelaide. And Bryce is going to get 40.
It'd be an interesting scenario. Yeah. Very interesting. I don't know what to expect there. I really hope that the Perth fans embrace the guy that did so much for them over such a long period.
Shocked if they didn't. I would be shocked if they didn't.
I'd be disappointed, but this is the same people that booed Andrew and Lindsay Gaze when they won the championship.
Good call. Yeah, fair call. Yeah, okay. All right, well, mate, do you have a Nodge nesting?
Yes, I do. And I think for the people that were watching the international games between Australia and New Zealand, if KO and ESPN agree to take these games and have some sort of exclusive rights to show them, then you've got to show them to the end. You can't cut away with 3 minutes to go and the game evenly poised, and it comes down to a shot that beats the buzzer by 0.1 of a second, and the viewers don't get to see that. That's rubbish. That is rubbish. But whoever negotiated that TV deal has got to sit down again with them and say, this cannot happen. Happens all the time on KO, I hear. I mean, I don't have KO, so I don't know that for a fact. But I do know, and I do see the people across social media just losing their minds because they've lost the last few minutes of a cracker a game. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't allow that. Talk to me about your rapper. Rapper.
My rattler is to everyone in the league, but it was really noticeable in the Kings Tasmania game. Look, I agree with you, the refs are not doing fabulous. I agree with that. But what I will say is they ain't bloody changing, and players have to. I don't know how many times I've got to, like, the swirling of the finger off me, I promise you I didn't touch it, and, you know, let's time out, run into the bench, and, like, time out, what are you doing, and then yelling at the referees, and getting hit, and, like, you've been shot out of a cannon, and it's just like, stop it, like, you know, I don't want to be that soccer game, right, it's just... It is really driving me nuts. And, you know, we've got players that have been ejected. We've had coaches that have been ejected. It's just getting to a stage where are the refs doing the right thing? Probably not. But it is now come to a stage where you've just got to say, you got to stop or you're going to cost your team a playoff spot. Not just a game. It's going to come to playoff spot because I'm thinking 16, 17 wins get you in a playoff, right?
Right.
Like, you could make it 15 with what you do. You could make it 17 if you don't.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just driving me nuts, buddy. It's just like, it's getting exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm with you. I think the officiating has never been worse, but they put every player, I shouldn't say every player, but just about every player wants to bitch about every call. They're all off. Someone's taken free throws,
okay,
and a player's walked across the court to talk to the ref and bitching.
So tell me this, buddy.
Bugger off.
Tell me a player in the league, and if find me one, please, and our listeners, you can tell me. Tell me a player in the league that talks like that with the finger swirling and the upsetness that then comes out of the game and has a really good one. I'll tell you a player that doesn't do it. And that is the MVP in Bryce Cotton. He doesn't do it. He might have a little whinge, but he plays every damn possession all the time. No bitching, no whinging. Yeah, he might look and say, this is my damn house, but it's after the play, right? And he might all of this type of stuff. And to me, that is why he is the MVP. Don't worry. Yeah, I can get fouled, but I'm not stopping. The guy, and we still don't know what happened, got told halfway through a game that there's something gone on family. We don't know what it is. It was personal. Yeah. And he still comes out and wins the damn Adelaide 36ers a game. But that, to me, that's how you need to play basketball.
Yeah. All right. That you've got my complete endorsement. As I said, I have some sympathy for the umpires. I know they're doing a poor job, but what they're being subjected to by players and coaches and sniping going on all the time, I think we discussed it only a couple of weeks ago.
But
when did it happen that it was anyone can talk to the refs? It used to be the captain can go
absolutely
and get a qualification. We've got to go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of seeing it. Sick of seeing it just as you are. I'm sick of seeing you. Let's sign off and get out of here.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time. Enjoy the round. It's great that the fever break is over. We're back to the NBL. It goes all the way now through to the end of the season. Body, have a great week, mate. And everyone, we'll see you next time. Did you see me at the end of last episode that we did? I was swirling my finger. I was trying to get your wife's attention to get you off. Did you see that? Like, I'm like, replay. Get him off the gap. Get him off the screen.
Yeah, well, can I just say that worked a trick because she got me off.